Man, thank you very much. Please take your Bible, turn to Nehemiah chapter number 8. Nehemiah chapter number 8. The people have built the wall. They have built the city or are building the city. They've reestablished proper ownership of the properties and reckoned the genealogies as they are supposed to do. And they're starting to become serious about serving God with the right heart. They're, through working, as difficult as it was, but they're beginning to discover or understand that God's way is the right way and the only way to go through things. And so now in chapter 8, they're ready for what I believe Nehemiah has been trying to prepare them for anyway. That is, how do you know what God wants you to do? How do you know? Well, there's only one way: His Word. There's no guessing. The Holy Spirit doesn't move on you and give you new inspiration. It's in His Word. It tells you. He may not give you specifics, but there's certain values and things that He tells you about trusting Him. And now they're ready to hear. They are ready to hear. They may not understand or be willing to understand obedience, but they are willing to hear. And so that's where we are in chapter number 8. The Bible says, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Ananiah and Urijah and Hilkiah and Maaseiah on his right hand, and on his left hand Padiah and Mishael and Malchiah and Hashem and Hashbanana, Zechariah and Meshullam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua and Baani and Sherebiah and Jamin, Akab, Shabbathiah, Hodijah, Maasei, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them, for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, Hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers and all the people, the priests, the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and they that they should publish and proclaim it in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, Go forth into the mountain, fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house and in their courts and in the courts of the house of God and in the street of the water gate and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Jeshua the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so, and there was very great gladness. Also day by day, from the first day unto the last, he read the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you, God, that you've given us this account of the children of Israel that were of the remnant that returned back to do the work. After completing it, have seen their need to know what you desire for them. God, I'm thankful that here we see their response, we see their heart, and we understand, God, that these things were all done by you for the purpose of bringing you glory, and that it touched them that they had sinned so greatly against you. I pray tonight as we look in your word that we would understand the reason we need the word of God, and we'll thank you for what you do in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This message title is A New View of the Word of God. So if you just kind of reconcile, and I like to try to do this to remind us and to remind me to kind of get our minds moving in the right direction. But these people had not heard the Word of God spoken like this. They'd not participated in a feast like this in a long time. But it was commanded that they follow this feast, that it was something that was given to them forever. And yet we see here that it wasn't since the day of Joshua that they had done it like this. That means all the kings had not brought about. I mean, this is quite a statement that these people, not just for 170 years or 100 years, let's say, or let's say 200 years, but for the years they were in the land, over 500 years now. It's been over 500 years since they've had a feast like this. What made the difference this time? What made the difference this time? It was done according to as Moses had commanded. Now, if you read the scriptures, it will tell you that Josiah was the last one to have a Passover that was greater than any of the feasts since the days of David. But this feast and the practice and the observation of it was greater than that, because the Bible doesn't make mistakes. It says it hadn't been done like this since the days of Joshua. Again, what made the difference? The building of the city? No. What made the difference? The building of the temple? No. The sacrifices? No. What made the difference was they were finally ready to hear the Word of God. One of the struggles that we have, in fact, I had several conversations, interestingly, this week with different pastors and with people really not associated with the church. In fact, not anybody in the church that I can think of, but just interesting conversations that kind of go like this. Why do you think people are not seeing this in the Bible? Why do you think people are, and I'm not even talking about major doctrinal things, I'm talking about simple life things. Why do you think people aren't doing this? And we've just had discussions like this. Now, I don't spend a long time talking on the phone because I can't really take it. So I don't like to text. I don't really like to talk on the phone. This is how I talk to Twyla on the phone. Yep, okay, that's fine. Yes, that's fine. There are people that call me and they say interesting things, and I do talk to them a little longer than I should, but mostly I don't talk to very many people on the phone very long. Now, it's not that Twyla's not interesting. We talk a lot, and she doesn't talk very long on the phone either with me. Now, she talks with other people, but not with me, because we know what we're thinking. She says, "You're going to do this?" "Yes." And then I say this, "What was I going to do again?" And that's the way that usually goes, because I want to make sure I'm doing what she says. And she does. She reminds me on those phone calls. But the truth is, and I just use that as an example, is don't we get bored with stuff? It just becomes, why? You go, "Well, I can't believe you have an attitude like that." Well, I'm going to tell you, When it comes to reading our Bible, that's our attitude. I truly have not spoken to anybody in this room, in that room, or in the church this week about this, but I have recognized in even other churches that I go to that when you start talking about Bible things, it's always a surprise to people, things in the Bible. That's because we are not ready to hear the Bible, evidently. You know when we'll be ready? The closer it comes to Jesus' return. Why? We're going to be forced into it. Well, Brother Ron, why are you so negative? Because it's a real problem that causes real problems in your life when you're not willing. Now, I'm not saying everybody does this. I'm not lumping everybody in it. So if you're a person who reads your Bible and you love it and you hear it and you listen to it, that's great. But even reading it sometimes becomes mundane. Sometimes we don't listen to it. For the first time in many, many, many hundreds of years, the children of Israel are in a unique place where only about 50,000 of them are going to finally listen to the Word of God. This is not the first time this has been done. If you remember when Moses received the law from God, the children of Israel said, "We'll do whatever God says. Whatever you say that God says, we'll do it. We'll be glad. We'll enter into this covenant. We'll do it." And they immediately forgot because Moses goes to the top of the mountain to meet with God, and 40 days later, they're offering sacrifices to false gods. So they forgot. Yet they heard the rumblings and saw God right on the mountain, the dark cloud. They saw, they were afraid. They weren't allowed to touch the mountain. What is it now that's changed? Well, some of it was the correction that God had given them, but I do believe that at this point, Nehemiah has prepared them by encouraging them that God does know what He's doing. What needed to happen here in Jerusalem was that the people's minds needed to be changed about who they served and about who God is. And I in my personal Bible study, in my Bible reading, I am convinced that we're at that place in our churches today that we just flat don't believe that God is who He says He is. We act like this church is just business. It's something we do. We don't believe that we serve a God that can do things supernaturally that we cannot possibly conceive without completely trusting Him. So we begin to say things like, well, people won't get saved as much anymore because nobody wants to hear the Word, and the wickedness of the world is so bad. And that's how we excuse ourselves from our duty. By faith, do we trust God? By faith, encountering the missionaries we've encountered the last few weeks and speaking to Brother Camacho and watching, I'm telling you, they just believe God's going to do what God's going to do because they believe God is who God says He is. It's not fake. And so the question has to be raised, why aren't we that way? Well, we're a lot more educated. We're from America. That is a big problem, you're right. Because we've begun to trust everything else but God, including me. I'm not mad at you. I'm telling you, this is a problem that we all deal with. So what is going to help us? What is the necessary thing in our life? What is going to change our attitude about God? Only this. And it's going to have to be something you and I endeavor to do away from church. Because you're never going to get what you need at church. Ever. There's a great falling away today in churches because people are just, they're done. It's mundane. What causes sin in our lives? We just stop listening to the Word of God. We stop believing that God really is watching. We stop believing that God really has given us the ability by the Holy Spirit to keep ourselves from sin, not to be sinless, but to make sure that we have a defense, an out, if you will, every time it comes about. And so the children of Israel have not reckoned themselves to this in a long, long time. And so now it's time. And so they bid Ezra, the Bible says there in the first few verses, the first eight verses, says they call Ezra and they say, Ezra, bring the book. We would like to hear the book. They gather at the water gate. Remember, we went through the gates, and the water gate represents the washing of the Word of God. It's a symbol. It's a picture of what the Word of God does. It washes us. This is in line with Ephesians chapter number 5. And so they ask for the book. They give their undivided attention. Now, I want you to look at their posture. They stand. So I've had the question asked, why do we stand? Well, it truly is, we should be reverencing the book. It shouldn't be some religious thing we're doing. Why? Because they believed, as we should believe, that this is the words. These are the words of God. The very God-breathed words. If we had that attitude, don't you think it'd be a little bit different, that we would want to pick it up more daily? Like, this is the most important book. See, they don't stand up when Ezra comes to the pulpit, what we would call a platform where he's raised up, but when he opens the book, they stand. And I'm thankful that Temple Baptist Church has been trained to do that, and I'm thankful that we do it. But I really like to ask you, when you stand, why do you do it? Is this really the very Word of God to you? No, I'm not talking about just a book that you pick up when you come to church. I'm talking about a book that you really believe is sacred. Or when you get home, do you just throw it on the dresser or do you leave it in your car in the sun? Do you pick it up ever? Do you really believe that this is the Word of God? And again, this is something that I'm overcoming in my life just by being in it every day and really being amazed by it, finding things that connect, finding things that go together, and saying only God can do that. I find myself reading ahead because I know what's coming, and I'm like, why did he do this here? He's such an idiot. And then I start thinking about myself, you're such an idiot. You have the completed Word of God. And you go, Brother Ron, why do you talk to yourself all the time? Because I'm the only one there when I'm reading. And I'm the only one listening. But I read, I make pictures in my mind. It's not pretend. I'm seeing this action and wondering, why would somebody turn their back on God? I'm still just shocked that Asa wipes out the Moabites and then takes their gods home and starts worshiping them. It's one of the things I haven't been able to get over. Who does this? And God says to him, you brought home gods that are no gods. I'm the one who delivered your enemies to your hand. Those gods couldn't even protect them, and now you're worshiping them? What are you thinking?
Well, you say, well, I don't know why that's a big deal. Well, so what do we turn to besides this? Fox News? I mean, they're going down the drain. Because that's where news is all going. Why? You can't take a stand for anything anymore. Think about this. What takes the place of this in your life? Westerns? Work? Computer time? What do you reverence more than you reverence this? I again, I'm very thankful that we have the habit and it's right for us to stand when we read the scriptures. They stood all day. As long as the book was open, they stood. Well, we're not going to do that. I'm not saying we have to, but I'm going to tell you it's an attitude. It's an attitude that they had in their heart, recognizing that what he was reading, they needed. Not only that, but Ezra took great pain to make sure that the people that were listening understood the scriptures. Why? Because it was important that they understood what he was reading. It doesn't tell us what he read, but we can assume that he is at least reading the first five books of the Bible, which would take a long time. It'd probably take all 8 days, most of the daytime while they're reading it. And they're standing and they lift up their heads. So first Ezra prays and he thanks the Lord for his provision. He thanks the Lord for their completion of work. He thanks the Lord for everything that God has done. He doesn't ask God for anything. And the people say, amen, amen. They bow their heads, they worship. And then the Levites who had cleansed themselves, who had already been involved in the sacrifices in the previous chapter, now they're all coming and they're explaining the book to each person. Anyone that can understand, they're explaining. They're saying, do you understand that? Did you hear that? Do you understand what God is saying? Nehemiah, in verse number 9, is watching the entire thing. Here's how we know that these people have not been in the Word of God. As they hear the law, which this is what Ezra is reading, he's reading the law to them. As they hear the law, they begin to come under conviction, knowing that they have not done what the law says. Yet they don't understand what they're doing. So they're participating in the sacrificial worship of God concerning the Passover, concerning the Feast of the Tabernacles. There is a solemn day there, and then there, which is an assembly where they come together and they're quiet and they pray and they thank God, and then they go to their dwellings, and then there's the days in between, and then the eighth day there's another solemn day of time of coming together and praying and thanking God, and a time of no work, a time of being still and paying attention to the Lord. In between that, and this is the day after the first solemn day, they are now gathered together and they're listening to the Word of God, and they're not supposed to be, this is supposed to be a day of celebration for them, because this is the day that God brought them out. This is the day that God delivered them. This is their, that's what they're practicing here. They're supposed to be dwelling in booths because that's what they had to do when they left. They no longer dwelt in their dwelling places in Egypt. They went out. And as they're going out, they're supposed to be celebrating. And that's exactly what the children of Israel did until they got to the Red Sea and they were boxed in. And then they started crying and whining there. But here, this is a feast where they're supposed to be celebrating. And here's what the people do. They have no idea what they're doing, what's going on. And so the Bible says that the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Nehemiah's watching. He's saying, no, this is not what this is about. Do you know your Bible well enough to know why you do what you do and how you're supposed to respond? Let's say that you're in a service and the Lord speaks to your heart. Do you respond? Or do you just act surprised? Have you ever noticed, and this was said, this has been said many times, I'm not the first person to say it, so I'm not taking credit for it, but have you ever noticed that sometimes it's the same people that come down to the altar? Have you ever asked yourself why? Or did you just assume they're that wicked? Why is it that God can get a hold of their heart, but your heart is not reachable? Do you ever consider? It would scare me to death if I sat in any service while somebody else was preaching and God didn't speak to me. It would scare me to death. In fact, I'm very afraid of it. You know why? Because I did it. And I know where it leads. If all I did was think that guy was long, I wasted my time. If that's all I get out of the message, you go, well, that's you, that's not me. I don't respond emotionally. I don't have to respond emotionally. I'm telling you, there's something that the person, there's one thing, remember I said I didn't always remember what my dad said whenever I was younger. There is one thing he told me whenever I was younger, and I've never forgotten it, and is this. Doesn't matter who's preaching, every time this is opened, you're supposed to get something out of it. Why? Because it's not their word. If you spend your time trying to analyze what they're trying to mean, I had somebody say that, another person say that to me. I just couldn't. Well, in fact, it wasn't here. It was just a couple weeks ago. Person said, well, I didn't get anything out of that. And I said, well, you missed the whole thing because I was at the same service you were, and here's exactly what he said. And what? Oh. And here's what I said. Do you read your Bible? Because sometimes you can't understand unless you know the Word of God. These people didn't know the Word of God. They didn't understand. Why do you need to read the Word of God? First of all, because you should reverence it, and because it is the very Word of God. Secondly, so that you'll know how to respond when God starts speaking to your heart in the Word of God. So that when you're in a setting, when God's speaking to you, you'll know that how to respond. How to act. Don't brush off God speaking to your heart. This is the difference here. This is what's going to make the difference. They were ready. They believed that God's word deserved reverence. They believed it should be lifted up. They believed that it was important. And so they stood and they heard. When they heard, it began to affect them. And they didn't understand because they hadn't heard the word of God. But they were willing to become and do what God wanted them to do. And they wanted to understand. So Nehemiah says, explain to them that the joy of the Lord is your strength. We have no reason to be downhearted here or destroyed. God has delivered us. God's done what He said He was going to do. God's brought us back into the land. We've built the wall. We built the temple. We're building the city. Look what God is doing. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Go out and do as you're supposed to do and celebrate and thank God. Instead of being down in the dumps, hey, Jesus is coming back. Don't walk around and go, oh, this is such a miserable world we live in. I hate the politics. I've hated politics all along because men are involved and they're liars. Are you saying George Washington lied? Read history. He did. Sorry. Everybody's caught up in that. Compromise, doing what? That's not what's important. What's important is how should I respond? Well, if you don't know the Word of God, you won't know how. And so typically what happens, it either goes over our head. I'm not making myself to be somebody, and I'm not saying every time I preach, you should be convicted. That is not what I'm saying. I'm not saying every time you hear preaching. I'm not convicted every time I hear preaching, but most of the time, almost every service, I'm going, wow, that's really good. I mean, even when I'm listening after, so I listen to the preaching that goes on when I'm not here, because I want to make sure that they're preaching the right stuff. I'm like taking notes. Why? That's good. It's right out of the Bible. It's something I need. But if you're not given to reading the Bible, if you're not given to the Word of God, you won't know how to respond. You won't know that the joy of the Lord is your strength. That it's not, there is a time to mourn, but then there's also a time to rejoice. And the rejoicing comes when you see that what all God had done. In verse number 10, he says, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send the portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. They heard the word of God and realized that it needed to be understood. And so they said, we're going to understand it. And they did something with it. See, the Word of God is not just something that we should lay aside and not do something with. You know, there are people all over the world that would love to have a Bible that don't have Bibles. We got another video from brother in Ukraine, Thomas, Brother Derek Thomas in Ukraine. And he was talking about going into some of these villages that have been almost completely destroyed, and what they're seeing there with the Christians working and helping people in those villages, and the not just the food, but how people are being saved. And they brought a young lady with them this last time that they have known for a while. She plays the violin and she plays Christian music, and they're listening to it, and she gives a testimony. And the thing I love about it is these people that are, they say, thank you. They went to one place where there were 1,000 people. 1,000 people. They had a picture of them, a video of them out there preaching to 1,000 people, just standing. And they said, thank you for bringing us the Word of God. Most of them haven't had electricity or water. You know what people still need? They want to understand the Word of God, but how can they understand unless we understand and understand how to tell them how to understand? That's why we need the Word of God to change us. That's why we need to be in the Word of God. The people do what they're told. Why? Because they understood. Do you, when you leave church, do you understand why you were at church? When you pick up your Bible, do you understand why you're supposed to read it? Do you understand why you're a Baptist? Do you know why people leave? They just don't place any importance on what they say they understand. If you and I are truly worshiping God, why would we ever walk away from that? Now, if we're coming for people, then we're going to walk away. If we're coming for things, we're going to walk away. But these people understood, and they turned and they did exactly what they were supposed to do. Verse number 16, so the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths. They went out, they got all the tree branches they were supposed to do. They made everyone booths, listen to this, upon the roof of his house. That's a glory to God. And in their courts and in the courts of the house of God and in the street of the water gate, in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Jeshua, the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness. And day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days, and on the 8th day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. 7 days they stood all day listening to the Word of God. So when they understood, what they understood was the value of the Word of God in their lives. This wasn't something they did out of religious habit. Most of them have never done this. Well, none of them have ever done this at this point. They're only doing it because this is what the Scriptures tell them to do. Now they do it, they understand why they're doing it, and they understand this, that the Word of God is of the greatest value in my life. It is the thing I need, like my daily food. Now, you can say, Brother Ron, you don't work a regular job, so you don't understand how hard it is for me to set aside time to read the Bible. And I can tell you, I haven't always been a preacher, but I can tell you, I wasted plenty of time and still do. No, you don't understand. I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you're working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, then I would say you don't have time. If you're sleeping 1 hour longer than you need to,
you have time. If you watch TV, you have time. If you play video games, you have time. Yeah, you thought I was going to skip that one, didn't you? If you talk on the phone, you have time. If you text, you have time. The question is, do you understand how bad you need it? You can dismiss it. I'm not trying to be the Holy Spirit, as I know pastors and preachers are accused of being. There's no way. I'm just telling you, you don't understand the necessity of it. When you get into it and you begin to read it and you begin to understand the time that we live in, you're going to understand, you know what? I need this more than I need anything. I honestly do not watch the news at all. I used to. I don't even watch the Weather Channel. They're so whacked out with their, we're killing our planet. We have already passed killing it. It's all reserved. If they knew the Bible, they would know what I know. It's going to be destroyed. There's no stopping it. I shouldn't treat it like trash because God gave it to me. Yet, I can't destroy it. I don't have the ability. You know what's going to destroy our planet? I'm going to say it right now. Electric vehicles. Amen. Take that, Grandpa Joe Biden. Yeah. You and I don't have to. Everything we do is destructive. So that's, I don't need to even think about that stuff. Yet many Christians are consumed with it. We have a movement going on today trying to get us to accept something that's not even, I can say this, not even real. It's not even real. What they're trying to force down our throats is not even real. But how do I fight it? How do I tell my children? I better tell them this. And I better know it and live it so that they'll know that it's right. We excuse ourselves for one reason. We don't understand like they began to understand. This is the most valuable thing that we have access to. This is the living, breathing Word of God. It's the only living, breathing document on the planet. It's the only truth that will make you free. So my question is, do you reverence it like you should? Do you respond to it like you should? Do you understand it like you should? Do you understand how bad you need it like you should? No, every time we read it, we needed something in it. If we reverenced it like that, we'd get more out of our Bible. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you for